How many of you guys watched the debate yesterday or had to for school? Two people.
I did
it
on my own, actually.
We're talking about, like,
what?
We did a fake debate.
Huh?
Well, there's, like, a fake debate.
Yeah, Hillary.
There's a fake debate?
It's so funny.
No, I don't know about the fake debate. I didn't. I watched maybe 5 minutes of it. I watched 1 minute at the beginning. I turned it on closer to the end. Watched maybe about 10 minutes. And then that was it. Just kind of see how.
It was sad.
They're so mean.
It was sad.
I was watching it, like,
I think that it's so sad to where we have to either vote for bad or bad. Because like,
yeah.
Like those people are as corrupt as it is.
I know.
All they want is power.
Well, let's do this real quick. Let's kind of go around the room. We'll start with Amanda. Let's hear kind of what do you hate the most about this year's presidential race, or what do you like the most about it? Let's do that. And like I said, this is kind of open-ended. Nobody's trying to come to a conclusion or anything. It's just kind of a little feedback to see how, like, what the election is like for guys of your age. Like, what your perspective is on stuff like that. I'm just kind of interested in, like, how kids like you perceive something like this that's going on. I'll start with Kenzie. Let me shut this door real quick. Alright, Amanda, what do you hate the most or like the most about this year's election?
That it's so bad because that means that Christ is coming faster.
Wow.
And,
deep perspective.
And I don't like everything else.
You don't like everything else. That makes sense. Like Hillary's outfits, her pantsuits. You can't see yourself wearing that to prom in a couple of years?
Oh, my okay. God.
Kenzie's going to wear a pantsuit. I already see it. Yeah. All right, what do you hate the most or like the most about this this election cycle?
I don't really like how, like, huge it's gotten. Like, all I hear on school is, like, Trump this, Hillary that.
And you're not even high school. You're in middle school.
Yeah.
And the kids are talking about Trump and Hillary.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, like, there's mockery. Pictures as their wallpapers on their Chromebook, like Trump with his hair like blowing all across.
Yeah. You think that's real or fake? Yeah, real fake. Okay. What about you, Marja? What do you like about this or hate about
this? That's not my name.
Marja. What do you like about this or hate about this election cycle?
I don't like anything. I really don't care. I just watch it because I just want to see like how like much of like a joke our country is at the moment and like.
That's a good point.
I just don't care.
You're not alone in that. Not alone. Sierra.
I don't like anything about them. They're really corrupt and self-centered. They only care about the power that they're going to get out of it. Like, Hillary has already served herself in office and has proven unworthy. And Trump is just a powerful man who owns too many businesses and knows nothing about good politics. And I hate him so much. I hate them both. They do not care.
Yeah, Trump, wow. All right.
Yeah.
So instead of choosing one of them, they had like this like other thing where it's like blank, but it, like it said other. So instead of that, I just put Batman on it.
Nice. Yes. All right. Good deal. Now, what are you talking about? Like, because you're not 18, right, Sierra?
No.
Okay. So you, what is it, like a kids vote thing, like Nickelodeon sponsoring this or something?
I know. It's so stupid.
Oh. What, oh. Okay. Kaylin.
My father gave me a small loan of $1 million.
Your father gave you a small load of $1 million?
That's it.
Oh, that's something Trump said? Oh, okay, that's like...
Like,
number one, your father's rich. Number two, you're greedy and spoiled. Man, yeah.
I disagree with Marjay. And I guess Steve.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, smack me after class, but I already forgot your name.
Alexis.
Alexis. Oh, duh. Okay. That's my brother's name. Good. Yeah. All right, Alexis. What do you hate the most or like the most about this election cycle? Oh, wow, nice, well put, very well put, Alexis, and you, Miss Selma.
I like that, like, I'm the only one at school that doesn't really have to worry about who gets picked because I have the Lord on my side.
Amen, amen, that's a really good thing. That's
I hate
really
that
good
they're,
point.
Like, so both, like, really prideful.
Yeah. There's a lot of pride flying off that screen. What's up, Lauren? What do you think about this whole debacle? Could care less. All right. Could care less than what?
Couldn't care less.
Oh, couldn't care less. Okay, that's good. good. A lot of people say I could care less. I was like, okay, go ahead and start caring less. All right, Maddie, what do you think?
Well, I feel like I'm not really old enough to vote yet, so it's not really my concern. I really don't care. But I don't like how they act like they're both like always shooting weird comments at each other. I feel like it's like a never-ending battle.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Very true. Logie.
I don't know. I think they both suck at everything they do. And, like presidential debates used to be, like, exchanging policy and mm-hmm. proving which one is better. But it's just throwing insults at each other, and there's no policy exchange going on. And yep. It's just, I don't know, it's all a big joke.
It really is a big joke. Jared.
I like Trump. I seen this one debate where he's roasting Rosie O'Donnell. And Hillary, I don't like her. And America's going back to how it used to, because in history class I read this thing where Andrew Jackson was roasting on whoever he went against, wife and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
As long as he didn't get on the mama, they can still be friends, right? Something like that. Any other the lords in the back want to comment on this event? Yeah, I know, yeah. There's Justin's official comment on it right there.
I don't like social media is the biggest platform that they have.
That is true. That's so different than, I guess that kind of started a little bit with Obama, because he talked about, you know, Twitter accounts and stuff like that coming in back. But that was like even way back in 2008. 2012 really kicked up, and now it's like at the forefront of everything. What did so-and-so say on Twitter? And then the news media itself takes that and uses that for the next story for the rest of the week. And
they reference it in their debate. That's
It's weird. It's a weird thing.
It is weird. I know, like, Donald Trump's, like, referencing WikiLeaks and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like...
Oh my gosh, that is the most lying website I've ever seen.
It's true.
I used them for a report one time.
So I got a personal testimony, as a matter of fact, yeah.
it's not Wikipedia, it's different.
Yeah, so she said it's not Wikipedia. I don't think you can edit this site.
Oh, well, yeah. Wikipedia is still bad.
Okay, there you go. Kelly Kress, did you have an official comment on these transpiring?
I couldn't care less. I'm not even registered to vote. And
there you go. There you go. Nice.
They do have really funny bad lip reads.
I have not jumped on those yet.
Those funniest memes.
Those are fun to watch.
Okay. Nice. Do you have something else, Jared?
By the time I'm old enough to vote, it'll be worse, because you know who's running for president.
By the time you're older, oh yeah, I heard about Kanye West. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, guys. I'd say overall, after looking at like all these things, like when you kind of simmer everything down to it's kind of funny. But I think we're getting exactly what we deserve, to be honest with you. When you look at like how we've kind of treated God and His Word, and we look at America and how that thing started out and how it was pretty much dominating every nation that came up against it. We were just 13 colonies at one time, but stood up to the greatest imperial power in the world against Great Britain, and were able to pull that thing off and keep our head high above the water. And then after that, just soar past every other nation to a first world power that everybody else looked to for encouragement, for strength, for everything else like that. And you look at how we started out, you know, and the whole "in God we trust." And I understand the whole thing about how we had our forefathers that weren't necessarily Christians. They were, you know, theosophists and things like this. But the fact of the matter is that where we held God back there was a lot different than where we do now. And when we start to take God as a joke, it's almost like He's playing the same trick back on us. You know, He's like, all right, you want to take me as a joke? I'll give you some jokes to run you too. And what you're kind of starting to see now is when a nation turns away from God, you see God taking His hand off the nation. You get to see what He lets rule over us now. You know, and that's one of the things that I think folks are really upset about the candidates, but no one's upset about, you know, where they're at with God and what they're doing with Him in His Bible. So it's just kind of one of those things that corresponds oftentimes. I think we see that. So thanks for that input. That was cool. Good to kind of see where you guys are coming from with those things. I got a couple announcements real quick. I think I can remember them. Jamie says... Next. What is it? I did it right. Oh, here it is. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. Here we go. All right. Sleepover at the Kinnikets to host the Delta Girls. What day is that?
Saturday after the hayride.
So next. Is that next weekend? Next weekend. Mm-hmm.
And you guys.
Well, any youth group age girl, 7th grade through 12th grade, can come hang out over there at Jamie's, Chipotle, at Jamie's house for a sleepover. Okay, so that ought to be a fun time for you guys just to get to hang out and give them something to do when they're in town. Oh, yeah, there you go. And the boys are staying at Justin's house. I forgot about that. They definitely told me these things. I'm just scatterbrained. So next Saturday after the hayride, make sure you get extra dirty and come nasty, and then spend the night over their houses. All right. And then that Sunday, so the hayride is Saturday. You guys all plan on coming out to that Saturday night? Okay. And we're going to have a meeting after church to discuss kind of some more details. But just in general, so you guys know, you can just dress up like you usually do and just... You're going to have certain places out there in the field where you can jump up and scare. And we're going to try to get the flashlight that Pastor Bob likes to expose your hiding places. We're going to try to attain that thing this year. What's up, Angela?
If you guys get a chance to tell the Delta people what the hayride is like, go ahead and do that. They were wanting to dress up in costumes, which is totally cool. But when we were explaining to them how like the scaring and all that stuff worked, they were a little bit confused.
Control chaos. Basically, you guys are just out there in the field, and we're going to try to have an adult within 20 yards of you in some way, and then whoever makes it back gets to live the next year type of deal. So
we're part of the
Blair Witch half hay ride.
Don't let him lie to you.
Yeah, no. What's up, Jared?
Who else has
a I think it might be you and Logan. It's either you and Logan or not this one, the one from there. Or you and Caitlin, or Caitlin. Caitlin. Yeah. Her name's Caitlin, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, those two. Then, Sunday. Yeah, that's Sunday after the hayride. We're going to have lunch here at the church just to kind of send them off back home. So, plan on that. We'll try to get you some more information on that, what it's going to be. We'll talk about that tonight in our meeting. But I believe that is it. What's up, Kenzie?
Are we going to be in the meeting tonight, or is it just...
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's just the youth group leaders. We'll just have a meeting and with those involved in the hayride. So any questions on those things, guys? You good? All right, let's stand up. Let's...
Saturday night.
What's that? Yeah, so what's going on with that?
It's
movie night. Okay, so does everybody know about... Hopefully your parents got a text message if you didn't, but the Brackeens are having a movie night Saturday night at their house this Saturday.
Bring your favorite movie snack.
Bring your favorite movie snack. All right.
She didn't do text messages. It's just word of mouth.
Oh, word of mouth. Okay.
If you haven't heard, it's not invited. It's just being passed around by.
Okay.
What movie?
Worth Taking Pixels.
What is that? Oh, dear,
what
is this? See that?
What is that?
It's about, like, these, like, guys.
Stop,
I
don't
see
it.
They
get
into, like, a video game and stuff.
Just everything is, like, pixelated. Like, a game comes alive.
Like, Pac-Man.
A video game comes alive.
I know, it annoys me, too, but I can't feel it.
I remember saying
that. I guess I could have grabbed some.
Here you go, guys. Kenzo,
I love your sweatpants.
Thanks. They're so comfy.
I have any sweatpants.
Doesn't bother you.
Thank you.
Oh,
excuse me.
Oh, they're gonna hear us.
Heard
that. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Whoever the girls were last time sounded good, so you guys gotta live up to it. Try you two again. Who was Where AJ and Cody tonight? God's Wonderful Book Divine. Here, I got a couple extras if you don't have one. Raise your hand.
I don't have one. All
right.
And I can share one.
You got to share one?
We can share it.
You don't have one, you're loose for the section. Raise your hand.
Can you give us one?
We got one more after this.
Actually, you know the first one.
I said two words.
Exactly.
What's up?
Not any extras.
I think we might be out.
Thank you.
Oh, no, here we go. Never, oh, I got a lot more. Never mind.
All right.
And I have a comment, so I don't sound good at all. I usually don't.
Oh, everyone
did it? Everybody.
Do you have one in your
I'm sorry,
really. All right.
What?
God's wonderful book divine. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get rolling. Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for the relief and the oasis away from the troubles in the world that we get to come together as believers, Lord, and just strengthen and encourage one another, Father. But it's only because we're getting centered around you, Father. You're the source that strengthens us, Lord. You're the one that's emitting that energy into our lives, Father, that just keeps renewing us and refreshing us day after day. And Lord, I pray that, you know, we'll just continue to give you the praise, honor, and glory for that and get into our Bibles so that we can get rejuvenated while we're outside of here. But Lord, right now I pray that you would just come and have a good time with us tonight. Open up our hearts and minds tonight for the lesson. Just take this song service and let it prepare our hearts and minds for your word. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
What light is that shining so brightly for me, that gives me such courage the right way to see? What hope for my trusting soul ever shall be? That wonderful book divine. Verse 2. What hope for the traveler whose strength's almost gone, that makes him determined to keep plodding on? What sweet consolation from heaven's bright throne, God's wonderful book divine.
On the chorus!
I love you, O Bible, the precious old Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy,
so
always so happy, God's wonderful book divine. What map can you trust as a guide for your soul, when tempests would strand you on some treacherous shore? What compass will point you to heaven's door? God's wonderful book divine. What hope for the traveler so simple and mild? A map that will guide the footsteps of his child. What sweet consolation keeps me all the while? God's wonderful book divine. I love thee, O Bible, precious old Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful book divine. Onward, I'll never turn back. I know with this Bible I'm on the right track. These words are so precious, so loving and true. God's wonderful book divine. In case you are wondering of which book I speak, it's the only version authorized by the King. Its words are preserved through the ages of time. God's wonderful book divine. I love the old Bible, precious old Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy,
so happy,
always so happy, God's wonderful book divine.
On the chorus, one more time.
I love to shine. It keeps me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful book divine.
All right, what's our next one going to be? What was the last part? I don't have a paper. Well, oh, yeah. All right, on the chorus, one more time. Then we'll do the last part.
I love thee, O Bible, your precious, O Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful book divine.
Last time.
I love thee,
Are you so happy? God's wonderful book divine. All right, good job. Let's do... What should we do next, guys? What do you want to do? I know, we don't have that one here. I wanted to sing that one tonight, too. Surely Goodness and Mercy. We got six hymnals in here. We can spread out. What'd you say? 15. What's 15? Brethren?
Yeah.
15. Brethren, we have met to worship. That's a goodie. Good call, Lauren. 15. 14 or 15?
Yeah, 14.
The one before 16. Yeah, there it is. It's right after Blessed Be the Name and right before Christ Returns. Brethren, we have met to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of
Alright, fire up verse 1 again.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray. Shower all around, brethren, see boy sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down, brethren. All around, sisters, will you join and help us? Moses, sister, aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray and shower all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will
My anchor holds.
I see the chorus all the time at home.
Oh, yeah, that's a goodie, man.
Good. I always hum it.
Singing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spirits.
We should do 127.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll do that one. All right, my anchor holds.
Oh, the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul. I'm peaceful, for I know, while with all the winds may blow, I'm an anchor safe and sure that will evermore endure. And it holds my Oh, tides about me sweep. Pearls lurk within the deep. Angry clouds will shade the sky. And the tempest rises high. Still I stand the sea.
Why? Amen.
For my anchor grips the rock. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fiddle gale. On my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail. For my
number in the hymnal, but I don't think we have a 127 in the book.
We have a 101.
It's at the top left.
Top left. But what is it in the
bottom right number?
What's the bottom right number?
I lost it.
I think it's 27, though. Funny thing.
27?
Yeah, 27. There we go.
Wait, does it have a number?
Yeah, the top right is 127.
Yeah.
But it's kind of covered, so we just call it 27.
It is 27.
All right, hallelujah, what a savior. Here we go.
Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah! What a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior!
Verse 2 again!
Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What Savior.
Got time for one more. Sierra?
32.
What's 32?
Heaven, kingdom, glory, bless all.
Heaven and glory. All right. What a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. And oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Now my sins are washed away, and my eye was turned to day.
First one again. We're going to hold out that soul long enough for Aaron and Justin, maybe the counselors, all the counselors back there to echo us. All right, here we go. Verse one again.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. And oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made darkness
depart.
And heaven came down and glory filled my soul, filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, made me whole. My sins are washed. God's family divine, and I'm justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine,
and it's hard to
tell. The redemption so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came.
Amen!
I took of the offer of grace He did proffer.
He saved me!
Praises.
Amen!
And heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins are washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. And now I behold that will surely endure after the passing of time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much.
I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions of wine. And it's all because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and
blessings, amen,
this precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Now my sins are washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy grace.
When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Here we go.
There is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears.
Amen.
All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. Jesus, I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
On the chorus one last time.
What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
RJ, can you pray for us when we get started here? I know you can. All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, just put the words on Zach's heart and the word and on our hearts.
Amen. 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 Hey, that was more genuine than many prayers. It was. All right. Well, I tell you what, with a song service like that, I kind of rather not talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. But, you know what, that's how it goes. I'm sure the Lord has got this planned out like this for a reason. But tonight we are going to change it up a little bit, kind of on the dark side of things. We've been kind of coming, we've been coming through the Bible and looking at who Jesus Christ is. And last time we got together, I tried to spend most of the time just painting a picture of where he came from. We looked at Isaiah 53 and we talked about how that when the Bible did a summary of who Jesus Christ was in his life, it called him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the main point I wanted to drive home was that Jesus Christ wasn't a man of sorrows and he wasn't acquainted with grief just because he was some random punk, just because he was some pipsqueak that never had, you know, respect from anyone, that was just a nobody. Where Jesus Christ came from, he was it. He was the focus of everyone's admiration. He was what all the attention was about. He was the joy of heaven. When they're shouting and singing and hallelujahs going on up there in heaven, it was because of him. So he left all that. He left those riches and glory. He came down here, took upon him the nature of man, made himself a servant, and became humble and humbled himself even unto death for you and I. The ridicule, the shame, the cursings, the mocking, all the reproach, how he was despised was all because of my personal sin. So that wasn't naturally associated with him. Even though the Bible in Isaiah 53 labels him as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we were looking at the whole fact that that's not where Jesus Christ came from. And I was trying to paint that picture so you guys could get that vision of who he was and hopefully get your heart set on that and never want to get away from that. Well, today we're going to look at the opposite end of the spectrum. For every positive, there's a negative. Newton's law says for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. For every forward motion, there's a reverse motion or whatnot. You know, for every great smell of perfume, somebody farts. Okay. So the fact of the matter, you know, you got yin and yang out there, and positive and negative. And tonight we're going to look at kind of the negative. And I was thinking, you know, with us coming up on Halloween in a week here or so, I figured, you know, why not? Let's take some time and stop and talk about these things. But also, not just because we're coming up on Halloween, but this, what we're going to talk about tonight also ties into this election and just the way that the whole world's going. Not just America, and not just, you know, the first world countries or whatnot, but the world as a whole has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. And this is also a subject, when we were coming here on the way, I was telling Jenny, God help us. I feel like scatterbrained and tired tonight, so I was like, God help us to get something out of this. And we're going to be talking about something that I've never studied until now. This is a brand new subject for me, so we're probably not going to get through it all tonight. Lord willing, we'll get a good enough foundation so that when we come back next time we get together, we'll be able to really lay some good stuff out. But I think if you pay attention tonight, you'll get some good things down and be able to take some good notes. But what we're going to talk about tonight is a really controversial subject. It's something that, to be honest with you, I haven't studied because I always thought it was pretty goofy. People that got caught off in these things were oftentimes very weak Christians. They were really strong in this area, but when you like needed help, like in your prayer life, you needed help to get through your problems going through the week, these people really sucked at that type of stuff because they really went overboard in this area. But as you guys know, when you hang around this church any amount of time, there's something to be taken from everything that's out there in the world, and there's an element of truth in all those things. And tonight we're going to look at the element of truth and conspiracies, okay? So it's Halloween time. We're going to talk about some conspiracies. We're going to talk about the devil. We talked about the old paths before, but tonight we're going to talk about the conspiracies that are out there. We're going to talk about Satan. We're going to talk about the devil and what he has to do with those. So first turn to Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41. And let me know if I'm going too fast. If I start to go too fast, just raise your hand and smack your neighbor in the back of the head, and then I'll know if something's up. No, don't do that. But I'll try to slow it down for you guys. Job 41. So in Job chapter 41, let's see if there's somebody that's kind of ahead of my game already. Job chapter 40 and Job 41 detail something or someone in the Bible that's really key for us to know about. It's a definitive spot in the Bible on this character or this theme. Does anybody know what Job 40 and Job 41 are talking about, or who they lay out, or what it lays out? Jared, you think you know? Okay. How'd you know that? It's because I did such a great introduction to this. Okay, there you go. All right, that's right. In the Old Testament, Job chapter 40 and Job 41 are probably your greatest spots in the Bible laying out who the devil is. Okay, here's a bonus question. Does anybody know what the two New Testament chapters are that lay them out so well? Jared again.
Revelation
what? Revelation 52 and what else? Huh?
I don't know.
All right, well, that's good. It is Revelation. Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation 13. Revelation 12, huh?
I was going to say, I asked Bob a question in Revelation chapter 12.
Okay. Yeah, you did. I remember that. I remember you asking about that. Yeah, so Revelation 12 and 13 are the counterpart, at least in the sense that they lay out the devil better than any other chapters in that Testament. Okay, so Job 41. And we open up this chapter, and if you're just talking to someone that never has come to Job 41, they would look at this and they would say, well, Job 41, I don't see anything about the devil here. I do see something interesting. Somebody read verse 1 out loud for me.
What chapter?
41, Job 41, the chapter you answered on. Job 41, verse 1. Someone read that out.
Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or tongue with a cord which thou lettest down?
Yeah. Do you guys talk about Leviathan in your everyday language at school? Did you go to the zoo and see a Leviathan there before? Okay, so that's kind of a weird thing to show up right there. It's like a mythological creature, right? So a lot of great Bible scholars in their day looked at that thing and they conjectured about it. They looked at that thing and they said, you know what? Looking at it, if it's drawn out with a hook, it's got to be, if it's drawn, you draw water, and that's what goes on there. And he draws them out with a hook like he's fishing them. They say this must be some type of alligator or some sort of something like that. Okay? So the cool thing about the Bible is that you don't have to rely on your own knowledge to understand what God's talking about. The cool thing about the Bible is that it's self-reliant. And when you come back to Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, we're going to compare these words in Job chapter 41, verse 1, with the words we see in Isaiah 27, 1. And we're going to look for things that are similar. Okay? Let's see if we can find one word that's the same. And if you can't turn there, I'm going to read it. Now raise your hand when you hear a word that's similar. So Job 41, 1 said, canst thou draw out Leviathan like an hook? Isaiah 27, 1 says this, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. What did they compare Leviathan to in Isaiah 27, 1?
A dragon.
A dragon? What else? A serpent. Okay. So Leviathan was compared to a dragon. It was compared to a serpent. Now let's go one more spot. Three is a charm. Three is company. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. If you can't turn there, I'm going to read it out loud again. Just listen up. Revelation chapter 12 says this. Let's see if we find any similarities in this verse. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Leviathan was compared to what two things?
Devil and Satan.
Or a what, Marjorie?
A dragon
and what else?
A serpent.
What did the Bible say about the devil right here? And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the capital D-E-V-I-E-L, the evil, devil, and Satan. All right? So you guys see how the Bible defines what Leviathan is right there for you? Not really. Did I lose somebody on the second trip? Somebody got off the turnpike too early? All right. Well, we'll come back and do there sometime and look at that. But for those of you that got that good, at least write down those references, and I trust that when you go home and look at them, the Lord will reveal those things to you. All right. So, that's what just happened right there. We're talking about the devil in Job chapter 41. Well, let's keep rolling. Let's see what the Bible has to say about the devil. And when we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it said that he deceiveth the whole world. What we're going to look at is in Job chapter 41, verses 12 and verse 13. As soon as I get my fat fingers over there, I'll read it. And it says this in verse 12. God's talking about the devil, and this is what he says about him. I, God, that's who the I is, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Now God right here tells us that he's not going to do something. And we know that God's not a man. He's not going to lie about something when he says he's not going to do it. So we know Leviathan's the devil, and God says he's not going to do three things. He's not going to conceal his parts, his power, or his comely proportion. Now, the cool thing about the Bible, you guys know why I like the Bible so much? Because if I ask every one of you guys, or maybe not you guys are pretty sharp in the book, but if I went to school and talked to your friends and said, hey, tell me who God is, do you think that after I talked to everyone in your school, I'd come back with the same answer? Everybody would think God was the same exact thing. They all have the same idea of him. I bet some people would think that God was a woman. I bet some people would think that God was like a grandfather in the sky. I bet some people would think that God loved the sinner and hated the sin. Other people would think that God had a, you know, a damnation for certain folks, or other people would think that he loves everyone. There's no such thing as hell. Others would think that God is just a spirit, like the wind or something like that. He's just kind of out there in nature, and he doesn't have an actual person who he is. So there's all kinds of ideas that people have about who God is. But the reason I like the Bible so much is because the Bible, you come to this thing, and it claims to be God's absolute word himself. It claims to be God's revelation to us. Revelation, just a fancy word for saying how he revealed himself to us. So when you and I come to the Bible and read it, we all get on the same page about who God is. We're using this as our standard to judge who God is and what the Bible says about him. So, not only does the Bible reveal who God is, but it also reveals the enemy. It reveals who the devil is. And what God just promised right there in those verses, he said that I'm not going to conceal Satan. If you get into my Bible, you want to understand who the devil truly is, I'll show you that he's not some guy that's dressed up in a, you know, leather suit that's zipped up super tight, wearing high heels and a pitchfork with horns on his head. Right? He says, if you get into my Bible, I'll show you who the devil truly is. And he's not going to conceal three things. His parts, his power, or his comely proportion. Now, we're not going to really indulge on that too long, but when it comes down to it, his parts equal his people, the people the devil uses. Power is going to be his nations. And then that comely proportion, who knows what the word comely means? The Bible talks about Jesus Christ had no form nor comeliness, but the Bible said David was very comely to look upon. What's that word comely mean? What do you think it means?
Common.
Even, what you said, common? Not common. Jenny thinks she might know, but I know she doesn't, so I'm not going to call her. Because she's being embarrassed. All right, Jenny, what does comely mean?
Handsome.
Oh, handsome. Okay. Comely proportion. Oh, man, this thing is hatted, boy. It's a spiritual marker. Okay, so that's going to be the religion.
Do you
remember
that there's more markers?
No, there's no other markers. All right. Okay. So when it comes to the devil, even though he's a great deceiver and he tries to conceal himself and hide himself, God tells us when we get into the word that he's not going to allow the devil to conceal who he is. You say, well, Zach, why is this so important for where we're going tonight? Well, a conspiracy. It's something that is supposedly going on, but it's hidden. It's very involved, and it has a great deal of activity surrounding it, and it's moving things and making things happen, but it's not visible to the naked eye, supposedly. And just like you and I use this Bible to figure out who the true line of Jesus Christ was, we watch how that God showed up and he blessed Adam, but Adam lost it, and then God said, put these clothes on, and then you'll have my covering, and all of a sudden, God gave Adam and Eve children, and those two kids that they had were Cain and Abel. One was good, one was bad, and then from then on out throughout the rest of the Bible, we get to kind of trace the good line throughout the Bible versus the bad line. Adam later on has Seth. After Cain kills Abel, Seth goes on and has all these generations. Eventually, righteous Noah comes through him. Out of Noah's loins comes one good boy, Shem, another strong man, Japheth, and then a cursed one, Ham. So he has all those different things tailoring off from there. And then after Shem comes out, Shem ends up getting his line blessed, and a guy by the name of Abram comes from Shem. Father Abraham has all these sons and stuff like that. Next thing you know, all his sons turn to 12 nations or 12 tribes of one nation, the nation of Israel. And next thing you know, you got God's chosen nation of people to bring his son Jesus Christ through. So we can look at the beginning of the Bible and watch this whole thing formulate and start. And from there on, we can come up to where we're at today and trace our roots as a church back to this thing. We always talk about hold the line, hold the fort. We're talking about remember where you came from. Don't let the line that God preserved die out. And that's how we trace the line of our church lineage doing stuff like that. I said all that to say this. The same way that we talk about sticking to the old paths, the same way we talk about holding the line and keeping the fort and stuff like that, there's an opposite line to our line. Okay? there's an evil line. That's, you know, I hate to sound all sinister and stuff like that because it might sound like it's more of a joke, but it's very true and it's very real. Just like you and I have the old paths that we stick to, the Bible talks about in Job chapter 22, verse 15. It says, "Hast thou marked the old way?" Not the old paths, but the old way in which wicked men have trodden. So just like you and I go back to Jeremiah 6:16 and say, there's the old paths. That's what our church believes in. We stick to those things. The Bible says, yeah, I see you marked the right way, but have you also marked the old way which wicked men have trodden? You say, well, why do I want to mark that? I want to be good. I don't want to be wicked. Why do I care what they're doing? So that you can avoid it. The Bible says over there in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, it says, when you find that old way, that wicked path, you're supposed to avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Tonight, what our goal is going to be is to start marking this path here. Tonight, we're going to mark it and look at its influence on things today. And with that, we're going to look at some conspiracies. Now, raise your hand. Have you guys all heard the word conspiracy? This isn't like a new vocabulary word I'm dumping on you, right? Okay. So we all heard about conspiracies. And just to kind of get your minds on the same page, I'm talking about like famous conspiracies. Some of the famous ones are like the JFK assassination, right? They say whodunit. We're not sure who really shot JFK. Some people say it was the CIA. Other people say it was the Roman Catholic Church. Other folks say it was aliens that came down and did it or something like that. Another really popular conspiracy nowadays is the one about pharmaceutical companies. Yeah, what they say is that pharmaceutical companies have found the cures to a lot of our greatest diseases that are out there. Like even like they believe they found a cure for cancer and for AIDS. But because those drugs cost so much money and it brings in so much revenue, they're not disclosing the cures because then they couldn't sell the drugs anymore and therefore they go out of business. So that's a conspiracy. Okay, that's a conspiracy. That's what they believe about some of those things like that. All right, another conspiracy. I had a driver in UPS that I used to, when I was starting UPS, I wasn't able to drive yet. But what we used to do at the peak season, like around Christmas and the holidays and stuff like that, they would take a helper with them. And I was a driver helper. I used to have to wear an elf hat and go and deliver packages and stuff like that. And I didn't do all that. Okay, but my driver was kind of loopy. Whenever I wasn't in the truck with him, he had a blow-up doll he would put in my chair. And he would actually drive around. That's a true story. He would actually drive around town with this blow-up doll in the seatbelt. Yes, weird guy. Okay, God kept me safe through all that. But one of the things he swore, because I used to always drink bottled water, and I still do, as you can see. He used to talk about the fluoride that was in water. He said fluoride leads to mind control, not sterilization. So he said the government's putting fluoride in your bottled water. That's why Amanda just stares at me the whole time like that. See, she's got mind control taking over already. All right, but that's another conspiracy that people say. They say that the government says they're putting fluoride in the water for protection, but it's really for mind control. This is a big one you guys might know about, Elvis and Tupac.
Oh, my
God. Still alive, right? All right, so there's a group that believes Elvis is still alive, and out there is a group that believes Tupac is still alive. You know, they believe those things. Princess Diana's death, there's a ton of conspiracy around that. One that kind of happened back at the beginning of World War II was the Pearl Harbor. And the conspiracy there, and there might be a lot of truth to that thing, is just that Theodore Roosevelt wanted to get into the war, but he really didn't have a legitimate excuse to get the Congress behind him and allow him to pass that declaration of war. So when he found out about Pearl Harbor, he didn't do anything about it. He allowed it to happen so that we could have a legitimate excuse to get into the war. And there's all kinds of different conspiracy things around that. The Iraqi war is a very recent one, or the invasion of Iraq, I should say. How that, I guess us going over there looking for weapons of mass destruction or whatnot was just an excuse for us to have an oil war, to go after the oil that was over there. Another one you guys hear about is the global warming conspiracy, just about how the increase in the temperature is due to man-made emissions, our pollution that we're putting up there in the air. If you guys haven't checked anything out on that, there's a really good documentary called Hairspray. If you want to check that one out.
Okay.
Just kidding. Don't look at that. I think it's horrible. All right. Then there's one that was super popular in movie form a while ago. It was called the Da Vinci Code. And, of course, that was the whole conspiracy about how Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene got married, had a kid, and now there's like a whole line of Jesus Christ ancestors on Earth right now and all that stuff like that. Popular one back in the Soviet era during the Cold War was the moon landing. And the U.S. and the United States were in a race to try to get to the moon first. Not only were they building up arms, but just technology and stuff like this. A lot of people say that the moon landing really didn't happen. They say it was just in a really good Hollywood studio, and it was filmed on Earth, and that no one ever really got up to the moon. These last three are going to kind of tie in together, and we're going to be touching on these. We probably won't be able to get into depth on them this class period, but next time we're definitely going to jump into these. But it's Area 51 in Roswell, New Mexico, and this is the backbone for all the alien and UFO conspiracies. And the Bible has a lot to say about that, and so do a lot of other books. And then there's 9/11, how that being was a government job. And the basic thing that they're basing that off of was the controlled demolition look of all those buildings coming down. And they also found nanothermite, which is this incendiary metal that burns up at these very high levels of heat or whatnot. So there's all kind of things like that. But then the probably the funniest one of them all is the Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory. How many of you guys have heard of that one? The Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory. Nobody? That just pretty much means that everything is a conspiracy, including the conspiracies. So that nothing is true. But there are people that believe that. Yeah. So that's that. So let's define the word. What the heck is a conspiracy? All right, Webster's, when it defines the word conspire, it means to plot together, to band together, or act in harmony toward a common end. So it means to plot together, band together, act in harmony toward a common end. Now, while we're going with this thing, I want you guys to keep one of the people running for office this year. They have their slogan for their campaign is not "Yes, we can," but it's actually "Together." Does anyone know whose campaign motto is "Together"? Hillary. Let's watch that, because that's going to become very important in the upcoming weeks when we go through these things. That word "together," what it really means, and the origin of it. All right, so "together." But then the word "conspiracy" itself, when you look that thing up, this one just came off of dictionary.com. The other one came out of Webster's. This one says a combination of persons for a secret, unlawful, or evil purpose. Yeah, evil. Combination of persons for a secret, unlawful, or evil purpose. Now, this word conspiracy is not new. When you open up your Bible, you find it tons of times in there. The first time it shows up in the Bible is Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. And you guys remember what conspiracy that was? That was Joseph and his brothers. The Bible said that Joseph's brothers conspired to slay him. So they're out there around that field with the sheep, and Joseph came out to them, and as he was approaching them, they conspired. They were a combination of persons for a secret, unlawful, or evil purpose. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10 through 12, talks about how Absalom, David's son, had conspirators. And verse 31 of that chapter talks about his plot to overthrow David. And David talked about how the conspiracy was thick against him. So there was a conspiracy back there. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 27, talks about after Amaziah turned away from following God, that his followers made a conspiracy to kill him, and they got it accomplished too. Jeremiah chapter 11, now this is cool because God himself uses the word conspiracy. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9 through 10. I'm going to turn there and read what God said. When he's talking to Jeremiah, he's laying some things out. Jeremiah's like, "Lord, do I need to get on YouTube and look at that inconvenient truth?" God's like, "No, I got it right here for you." He says, "And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers." So God talks about the conspiracy of how the house of Israel and the house of Judah were going to turn back and serve other gods against him. All right, Acts chapter 23, verse 12 through 13. I bet a lot of you guys remember that great conspiracy in the New Testament that was against Saul. And over there, that's kind of a funny conspiracy, only because of what these guys promised not to do until they took Paul out. Acts chapter 23, verse 12 through 13 says this. I'll pick it up in verse 11. "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified for me, or of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying, that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. All right, so they said they're going to go hungry until Paul was dead. All right, verse 13. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. So there we see it again. A combination of persons for a secret, unlawful, or evil purpose. A conspiracy. All right, so right there at Paul. Now, when it comes to a conspiracy, there's one main verse that I like to use that brings it to a modern sense. Turn over to Psalm chapter 2. And I don't think you'll have to turn anywhere else today. I think we'll go ahead and set up camp here and call it good. I want to be able to find a good place to stop so that you guys have enough information to not get overloaded before we really get into some modern things that are going on. All right, Psalm chapter 2. So the Bible is very clear that there is a conspiracy going on. I'm not just talking about the ones that already took place back in the old days and stuff like that. We're going to see what this conspiracy is. We'll see if the context clues here line up to the definition of what a conspiracy is. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Wow. Why do the heathen rage? What's the unsaved man getting all in a frenzy about? And the people imagine a vain thing. Whatever they're imagining, it's vain. You know why it's vain? Because God's not in their thoughts. And the Bible talks about if the Lord be not the maker of the house, then that thing's not going to stand. Now, before I lay out what I just read there, I do want to give a warning. Once again, don't waste too much time on these conspiracies and things like that. All in all, God's allowing these things to happen, and all you can do is try to avoid participation and willful involvement. Other than that, the Bible's pretty clear. It says, man's born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. There's going to be issues until the day you die. The Bible says it raineth on the just and the unjust. No matter how informed you get about these things, some of this fallout's just going to hit you regardless. I myself, the Bible says over there in Ecclesiastes 2:14, Solomon said, I myself perceive that one event happeneth to them all. Okay, so this isn't something to stress out about. I remember my mom, when we were coming up, she wanted to make sure that the stuff that we ate and the places that we went didn't have anything to do with, like, the devil. And at one time, we didn't go to McDonald's because McDonald's supported Disney, which supported, I forgot what it was, either the Church of Satan or something like that. And then Crest Toothpaste was run by Procter & Gamble, and Procter & Gamble gave a certain tithe or so what off of their income to the Church of Satan or something like that. So we didn't use those things. See what I'm saying? My Aunt Donna wouldn't let her kids eat chocolate because there were, I guess, the people that mine for chocolate. What do you do for chocolate? Do you pick it? Do you mine for it? Do you just scrape it?
It's from, like, a bean.
Oh, from a bean. There you go. There you go. So the people that beans chocolate. she didn't want them, you know, she didn't want her kids eating that because she said they used child labor on that. So you see what I'm saying? Just everything in this world is corrupt, okay? So, guys, if you're going to be in the world, just don't be of it, you know, as much as possible. So before we get into that, keep that in the back of your mind. I'm laying these things out, but it's not so you can go home and start to worry and stress and have crazy anxieties about these things. All right, so Psalm 2, if you didn't catch it, the Bible asks a question there. God said over there, he said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? All right, so overall, what is it that's got them motivated, fired up, and excited? What is it that they're imagining that's so vain, Lord? All right, verses 2 and 3 lays it out. This is what God says. Number one, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. They set themselves and they take counsel together. There's our word again, together. What was the conspiracy? To plot together. Okay? Keep reading. Against the Lord and against his anointed. You say, well, isn't that just the normal thing that an unsaved person does? They're naturally against God. Is every unsaved person a ruler? Is every unsaved person a king? No, this is a select group within that group who we're talking about. These are the elite. That's another word that kind of makes you want to puke because the conspiracy theories are huge on the elite. The elite are doing this, the elite are doing that. But for this, just stay with me. So it is the rulers, the elite. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Well, we know who the Lord is. Who is God's anointed? Number one is Jesus Christ. That's who is anointed of God. The Bible talking. So what's anointed, Zach? That's who the Holy Spirit's on. Okay. So first and foremost, it'd be Jesus Christ. He had his spirit. But number two, any of us that got saved, we're his anointed now. Something else that's anointed would have been the Jews back when God was down here dealing with them. But thirdly, the Bible. So the rulers of the world, the kings of the earth, they're taking counsel together against God, Jesus Christ, his folk, the church nowadays, and the nation of Israel, and that Bible. Now watch. This is what they're saying. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Isn't that crazy? What God just pretty much did, he talked about, even though there's so many differences in race, there's so many differences in religion, each nation, each culture, each land has their own customs that sometimes they'll hold so dear and near to themselves that they'll go to war over it. Some of the wars that we fought were pretty much capitalism versus communism. It was, you know, two different religions fighting against each other. The Crusades, Islam versus Roman Catholicism, not Christianity, okay? So, people have so many differences that they'll fight each other about, but the Bible says there's one thing that they'll all get together on. To break their bands from the Lord. Break their bands from the Lord. You guys understand that probably the number one reason why the unsaved world can't have peace is mostly because of you and your God and that Bible. You ever think about that? The Bible does act like a band. A Christian and God, they act like a band. When things want to get out of hand and stretch themselves out and just go wild and go crazy, there's that authority of the Bible. There's that doctrine of the book there. And you know it personally in your own life, what the Holy Spirit does. Wouldn't it be easier to tell a dirty joke if you didn't get convicted about it? Wouldn't it be easier to watch something you shouldn't be watching if the Holy Spirit wasn't there tapping on your shoulder? I remember we weren't even watching something raunchy, really that bad. I think we were like over my house for a movie night one time, and someone like started kissing on the movie. And like all of a sudden, like I was in the room with all you guys, and like the whole room just got like eerie for some reason. It got really awkward. Like some people were like kind of turned to see what I was doing like over the corner, because it was like an awkward moment for us all to be in there together. That would have been a lot easier if the Holy Spirit of God wasn't inside of us. Those are the bands they're talking about breaking asunder. My God, if it weren't for these Christians, if it weren't for the rules in that Bible, man, we'd be liberated. We'd be free, right? You guys ever took a really important test in like a class one time and you guys just all bombed it like tremendously? It was like one of those midterm things. Like it was, the teacher is known to be hard, and you guys never thought that you would be doing that great on it. But then, thank God, it looks like everyone did a really bad job on it. And what happens when everyone does a bad job on a test? What does the teacher usually do? Aaron?
She usually just gives you curves.
Yeah. She curves the grade. So if an A would have been 100, but the highest grade in the class was like a 70, she curves the grade to that highest grade that they got, or something close to that. So that now an A is 70, and whatever, whoever else does whatever falls under that. You know the worst thing about that thing? When you go and talk to your friend and you feel horrible and you finally confess to them that, you know what, I didn't do too high on that test, and the greatest thing you hear is that they're like, yeah, I didn't either. So it just kind of warms your heart. You're like, oh, wow. So I'm not the only idiot. I don't have to go to the slow class by myself. You know, this guy's going to go in there with me or whatnot. And then you keep going, and then you get another blessing. You find out that not only did they do that, but the person in the class before you took the same test and did pretty horrible. Before long, you find out that everybody that you talk to has done bad. So now your heart's racing. Your joy is, like, to the ceiling. You're all excited, like, we got a curve coming. You know what? So-and-so has done bad. She's so smart. She bombed it. I bombed it. This is going to be all right. At the end of the day, I'm going to come out with a B. So then you guys rush into class. The next day, you're expecting the teacher to start the class off with, all right, everybody, listen up. I realize that test was pretty intense. It was pretty hard. So I'm going to go ahead and do this time. So-and-so got this grade. We're going to curve everything down from that. And hallelujah, you already hear it. But in the middle of that thought, while you're going through that whole scenario, the teacher says, well, Kimberly and Ashley over here got 100% on this test. So therefore, everyone else, oh my God, you want to kill Kimberly and Ashley, right? Yeah. That's how it was with Jesus Christ. God set a standard with the Ten Commandments. 100% up here. He said, now you're down here in the flesh, and what you have to do is keep this law, because your flesh is going to get out of control. It's going to go crazy. We all tried to keep that law and failed miserably. And we thought, all right, there's going to be a curve. Surely I'm going to get into heaven. God even allowed folks to go into this place called Abraham's bosom, you know, to kind of hold out and wait. Couldn't take them to heaven. Heaven's perfect. But it looked like we were going to get a curve. But then all of a sudden, Kimberly and Ashley showed up in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, and he kept that standard. God set that standard up here, and he, in the flesh, kept that thing perfectly. 100%, baby. No more curve. And so you know why the world hates Jesus Christ? You know why the world hates Christians? You know why the world hates the Bible? Because it reminds them of the standard that they haven't kept. It's convicting to them. They hate that thing. So therefore, you know what? One thing the rulers of the earth and the world will set themselves against? It's you. It's the Bible. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. Now we're getting the foundation for the conspiracy that's going to start to take place. Now we're starting to see the motivation behind this conspiracy. What the world is trying to do is liberate themselves and get away from this conviction that is brought upon them by this book. You can take a Quran, you can take a Talmud, you can take the Bhagavad Gita, you can take all these spiritual books into your classroom and no one would think anything about it. Matter of fact, they'll be interested in them and ask you about them and want you to explain what's going on there. You set a Bible down on your desk and people start to get fidgety. They start to act like, oh my gosh, why are you doing that? Why are you forcing a religion upon us? Eve, that's out there, talked about how she just went into a store one day with her church that said Old Pass Baptist Church on one day. The chick just started going off on her because she had the shirt on. Eve never said anything. She's just trying to buy some groceries. What is that? That conviction that comes from just having that book. You know how the Bible said Noah condemned the world, even though he was a preacher of righteousness? You know how the Bible said Noah condemned the world back in his day when he built, when he was back there in Genesis chapter 6? Even though he preached for 120 years, the Bible says in Hebrews, when it sums up how Noah condemned the world, he said Noah condemned the world by building an ark. Not his preaching, it was his building. It was that action, his lifestyle. When your friends have grown up around spiritual things, or some of them have grown up in church, but now they've left off acting like a Christian or living like a Christian, like Jared talked about in his devotion up in Nebraska. You got Elmo Christians up there that start cussing like the world and talking crazy like the world. But then all of a sudden, you show up in the same group, and when a dirty joke is said, you don't laugh at it, and people are cussing all around you and giving in to peer pressure, you stand up and hold the line. You know what that does to those Christians that forgot about what they're supposed to be doing and living right? It convicts them. You know, if they don't like now, they can't stand being around you. Now you're starting to see the underlying works of this conspiracy. So all in all, you got Satan's people that we're going to be able to trace. We're going to look at the nations that he's used to get this thing done, and then we're going to look at the religion that he's done. First thing I want to talk about tonight, and we'll see how far we can get with this. Technically, we should end right there. I just can't. We got to keep going there. You guys know about the Illuminati. What do you know about the Illuminati? Raise your hand.
The triangle with an eye in it. Everyone, whenever they see each other, they're like, Illuminati confirmed.
Okay, so they associate, and that's like the symbol, they associate that with the New World Order, like this One World Order thing and stuff like that. So the Illuminati, there's a lot of mystical things surrounding them, but they're actually a legit organization that was started back May 1st, 1776. They were called the Bavarian Illuminati. Okay, it was just one of those things over there on the coast in the new colonies that they got started. And their goal at that time, let me read what their mission statement is. All right, their outward statement was this. No, I don't want to say that yet. It's going to steal something from later. Let me just make up something real quick. All right. No, I'm not. When I say make it out, I mean something I read. It's legit, but it's not on that paper yet. So their goal was simply to, in an underlying subversive way, they wanted to make sure that corrupt powers or whatnot did not run this new world, the new colonies, into the same type of corruption that they were escaping from in Europe. Okay? That was their whole idea. the elite guys over there, the ones with the money, the power, and the influence, were supposed to, without necessarily going to the government, if they saw that the government wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing, kind of take matters into their own hands with their influence. They had tons of money, they had tons of people that they had networking skills with and stuff like that, and if something needed to happen that the government wasn't listening to them on, they could work their means to do that means, their power, and their influence, and their networking, or whatnot. Okay, Illuminati. Do you guys hear a word that sounds familiar in that name? Illuminati?
Illuminati.
Illuminati. Okay. Illuminati.
Illuminati.
Oh, man.
Illuminati.
I can't even spell right now. Illuminati. Okay. So what'd you say, Aaron?
Illuminate.
Okay. Who knows what illuminate means?
Make a light.
Yeah. Light. Enlighten. Okay. And that's what that thing is. Luminous. Enlighten. So their name pretty much means the enlightened. Now, stay with me, because remember I said, just like we can trace our roots as the true line, the Bible-believing church, back through like the Moravians, the Waldensians, and all this stuff like that, you're going to be able to trace the devil's line. And I didn't get into it in Job chapter 41, verse 12 and 13, but that thing lays out into seven acts that he accomplishes. There's seven garments that the devil has put on to conceal what he's doing down throughout history. So Illuminati, enlightened, okay? Now, who was the first enlightened one to show up in history? So let's go back before Adam and Eve. Someone had a name that meant bright shining, Lux Pharaoh. Jared?
Lucifer.
You guys remember that?
Yeah. That's also the, well, that was his original name.
Huh?
Well, Lucifer is his original name before he got cast down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Perfect name, seven letters. It's Lucifer. Now, what we're going to get into now is this. Right now, we got like religion and atheism and stuff, and there seems to be like a big battle and stuff like that. Don't worry about that. Listen, atheism is a fad. I don't spend a lot of time with atheists. One, because you had to be dishonest with yourself to get to that point. But number two, it's not going to last very long. And I know that based off of the conspiracy behind this thing. I'm using conspiracy based off of our definition now, not the mystical, goofy stuff that people are talking about. But when it all comes back to it, and you know your Bible, you know that the whole world is going to come together in one religion, under the devil, under the Antichrist, okay? There's not going to be atheism going on then, okay? When the Antichrist comes down, however he chooses to come down, and lays out how he got life started down here, and lays the whole thing out, answers all the questions, there's no need for atheism anymore. But let me show you the God that they're building towards. It's Lucifer himself. So Illuminati means enlightened. So basically, they believe that they're disciples of the Shining One, or the Light Bearer, which is Lucifer. They call Lucifer the source of light. And what their basic statement is that, and their religion is called Luciferianism. And what they pretty much preach and believe is that there's three things that they're trying to do. And I'm just going to read this from the paper so I don't jack it up. They say the basic Luciferian principles highlight, number one, truth, number two, freedom of will, and number three, worshiping the inner self and one's ultimate potential. Well, hello, Lucifer in the Garden of Eve. Huh? You guys remember that back in the Garden of Eden? He shows up to Eve, and what does he want to give her first? Truth, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that tree, you'll know what God knows, and you'll be like God. The first thing he tries to give her is an education. The next thing, freedom of will. Who says you can't eat of that tree? Why is God holding back from you? Is there something special about that you can't have it? Why is he suppressing you? Why is he oppressing you, Adam and Eve? You've got your rights, you know. You should march down this garden, get some picket signs and stuff like that, and tell God what's up. Does he not realize you have rights? Yeah. What's the thing he says after that? Worshipping the inner self and one's ultimate potential. You're the epitome of everything. You're what matters more than anything else. Look out for you. Scrap everything else. Survival of the fittest. Natural selection. Right? And who did that first? The devil. Lucifer up in heaven. Up there in a perfect place with no sin, with no war. He couldn't keep his eyes on God because he was so focused on himself and said, I can do better than this. What do you mean you can do better? You're ruling over all of God's creation. He made you the covering cherub. You're the most beautiful thing that he's ever made. All wisdom is in you. What are you talking about? You can do better. Well, you see that big light up there, that beam? No, I don't see it. The Bible says no man can approach unto that, and only the Father, Jesus, only the Son, Jesus Christ, have declared the Father. I don't even think the angels have looked at God or know what God looks like. But Lucifer's up there, and he says, you see that big beam of light? I think I should be up there on top of that mountain. He was so self-conceited. And so in his religion that we get to see now, and this is where we're going to pick it up next time we come in, we see that his followers, the enlightened ones, are trying to do the same thing to the world. What they're going to do, they're going to do a system of things where, and we're going to look at this. This is so crazy when you look at how some of this stuff transpired and how it turned out. But they're going to get certain groups to fight against each other to where they take each other out to where the end of the day, there's not going to be Christianity and atheism. The world's going to come together to be, like you said, they're going to want truth. They're going to want freedom of will. And they're going to want worshiping of their own selves or whatnot. So, any questions about what we covered tonight so far? Good. What's up, Jared? Oh, it's Bright Shining is his name. That's all. Sorry. Thank you. Keep me accountable on those things. I'll do that all the time. All right, so Bright Shining. So you got Lucifer, and you got the Illuminati, and basically it's like Jesus and the disciples. Okay. All
right. So when people associate or talk about the Illuminati, they talk about selling their soul. Can you actually do that?
Okay, so you remember back there in Psalm 2 where the Bible says the kings of the earth and the rulers set themselves in those positions? Okay, Luke chapter 4 verse 6, the devil's talking to Jesus Christ. You know what he says unto him? All these kingdoms are mine, and I will give them to whom I will, but all you have to do is fall down and worship me. So when the unsaved world looks at that, they don't understand salvation, they don't understand body, soul, and spirit, how that stuff all works and stuff like that. But the whole idea is that just like the Holy Spirit of God comes and tries to convict you and get you under conviction about giving your life to Jesus Christ so that you escape going down to hell, the devil has his own people that are going around saying, listen, you got potential. We can take over this thing. We can make some stuff happen. Are you willing to do it? Here's my plan. There's definitely, just like you get moved by the Holy Spirit, there's definitely demonic activity where demons will manifest themselves to folks and lay stuff out. The Quran, all these different books talking about, you know, Gabriel, the 600-winged angel coming and giving Muhammad his Quran. That's probably a demon showing up like that, laying that stuff out for him. Joseph Smith, who wrote the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and stuff like that for the Mormon religion. Same thing. He talks about the angel Moriah coming and doing that. Probably a demon. So anybody that doesn't want to go God's way, the devil says, well, you still got potential, and you could have done something great for him, but since you're left over here, man, I'll do something for you. Will you fall down and worship me? Now, how that happens, how it happens in each instance, I'm not sure. I don't know. But the whole idea is that since the kingdoms of this world belong to the devil, if you want to rule over one of those kingdoms right now, yeah, you're going to have to in some way go along with his plan. You ever wonder, why is this thing taking so long? You know what I mean? Like, if the devil knows what he wants to do, why is it taking 2,000 years since the time of Christ's death? Because he can't make a man do anything. He can present something to a man, make it look really good. That man can get inspired by it, just like a Christian will by God's plan. He gets inspired by that thing, and then he tries to get a certain amount accomplished, like Hitler, like Mussolini, like Rasputin, and stuff like that. These guys all have those opportunities to do something. They try to conquer and do as much as they can. You know what I mean? But they're still going to die. The thing about it, though, the spirit that's influencing all those men is the same. And it just passes on. When that man dies, it just jumps onto someone else. So as soon as Hitler died, whatever spirit was influencing Hitler still lived, and it goes on to somewhere else. That's why history repeats itself. That's why you see rulers start to do the same things in different countries that other rulers were doing all over. They're like, why didn't you guys learn from that? Because it's a spirit that they're yielding to. And just like you and I choose to yield to the Holy Spirit to carry on God's plan, when someone rejects God, the devil can send his spirit their way and say, hey, you want to try my plan? And then they get power, they get fame, they get all that stuff like that. At the end of the day, you know, they lose their soul and go to hell. So in that sense, for a really long explanation, that's how they're selling their soul. But as far as like the devil showing up and like putting a steak dinner in front of them and saying, you know, hey, eat this and come to hell with me type of thing. I don't know how he does it. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay. Any other questions about that stuff right now? Jared?
All right, so last time when street preaching, there was this guy, and he was walking. Not, it was the time before he went. Mm-hmm. This guy, and he stopped and interrupted Chris and was saying that something, I don't know, but he was talking about how he cleansed people from demons.
Yeah, who knows what that guy was talking about. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to touch on witchcraft. We have to, because the New Age religion of Luciferianism is huge on witchcraft. We gotta cover stuff with Ouija boards and all that stuff, because there's subtle ways that these things are going to want entrance into your life, okay? When the Antichrist rules down here and gets that thing going and runs, he's going to have his agents in the household and stuff like that. And there's tons of mediums that they could probably go through and use that, and we can talk about that. Probably won't be even next time. We got more stuff to outline, but probably the third time we start going over this stuff. All right, so we good? Okay, guys, let's pray it out, and then we'll be done. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we got to spend in your word tonight. Just looking at, just the truth behind these subversive things that are happening in the world, Lord. And I pray that you would help us just to get into these things so that we can, just like you said, Lord, you said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so, Father, we're trying to educate ourselves in the Bible and understand the stuff that's happening around us so that we're not ignorant to it, so that we're not walking in darkness. And we're trusting the light of your word, Lord, not that false light that's out there. And I pray that the stuff the kids heard tonight, they would, take to heart, Lord, but just keep them on the stuff that matters, the words of God, the souls of men, Lord. When you see fit to get them to use some of these things we're talking about for a purpose that's going to help push the kingdom on for you, then go ahead and let them use it, Lord. But I just pray that you would just guide me while laying these things out and help it to be for your honor and glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Huh?